quack, 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 quack,
The Mighty Ducks, the podcast where we discuss the 1996 Disney hockey sequel, D3, The Mighty Ducks, 5 minutes at a time. I'm your host, Blake, and let me bring on my guest of the week, our first super mega all-star guest of the season, Tierney Steele Callahan from VCR Privileges. Tierney, welcome back.
Hi! Oh my gosh, we made it to D3!
Yes, and I'm saying the super mega all-star because you and Mike are the only two coming back from this season that not only did all three seasons, but also did the at-home special.
Yes.
Well, there you go. Welcome back.
this was a surprise delight because, not that I ever hated this movie, but I didn't have, like, fond memories of it. You know, I talked in previous series about how important D2 was and how fundamental it was growing up. And then it was like, oh yeah, and D3. That also was in this trilogy. And I really liked rewatching it. I was very pleasantly surprised.
I'm having to say, I think I'm more appreciating it as an adult. I'm appreciating this movie more.
That also could play into it. And just seeing young Josh Jackson is like, aw, you're a baby, but a man in this one.
Yeah, I forgot to run in and get my Pacey Witter Funko that I have on my other desk. I forgot to bring that in here for this episode. I forgot to do that. I do have that on my desk.
I too have a Pacey Witter Funko.
Yes, I got them all. My wife got them for me for like a birthday. They're all sitting on my desk in the other in my room. I'm not in my room right now, so I grab it off the shelf.
Well, that's my son's name is Patrick, and his nickname was going to be Pacey. His initials are Pacey, and so I was like, oh, I'll call him Pacey. This will be great. We go to Wilmington, North Carolina all the time. And as soon as he could talk, I call him. He's like, I am not Pacey. I am Patrick. And I'm like, oh, well, that was fun while it lasted. But I still got the Funko, so there we go.
Oh, there you go. Well, here we go. We are in the movie, and I want to ask you, before watching it as an adult, like you even said, watching this movie then, like, what did you think of the movie then, back in the 90s? You remember?
I'm trying to remember. I remember liking it fine. I thought Charlie Conway was the bee's knees, so that was fine. It kicked off my appreciation for the Minnesota Mall of America. There was a roller coaster in a mall. Very exciting stuff when you're in middle school. So, but I think even as a middle schooler, I was kind of like, well, but it's no D2.
That's true. Plus, it's a weird movie because it's like we're in high school, kind of. I don't even know if we're really in high school. Like, I don't know what we're doing here. It's weird.
Well, and this section has one of the best lines of the movie that made me laugh so hard I worried we're gonna have to pause it when Coach O'Ryan very seriously says high school hockey is very hard work.
Funny. We will get there in a minute. We will definitely get there. Coach O'Ryan has some funny moments in here that I didn't expect to laugh at now. I really didn't expect to laugh as hard as I did now. But with we last left us, we were actually having the varsity squad and our Ducks confront themselves for the first time. And it's like, we're setting something up. We don't know what we're setting up yet, but we're setting something up.
I did appreciate that way more as an adult because I remember as a kid being like, varsity, they just beat the whole world. What is this? You know, I wasn't saying WTF in 1996, but that was definitely the gist. And now as an adult, I'm watching it, I'm like, Yes, but that varsity is state champions, and these are supposed to be freshmen. Like,
yeah.
4 years and state champions makes a difference.
10 times in a row, state champions at that.
Yeah, so I mean.
They're gods at the school. Like, they're gods here.
Yeah. So I definitely got that more watching this as an adult. Like, oh, no, this is legit that varsity would be better than them.
Yeah, 100%. Now, Charlie asks for the roundup here.
Mm.
Is Charlie in the right or the wrong here? Because I don't know. It's a weird mix of, like, as an adult watching this now, I get that you should be going for the coach, but watching this as a kid, this is hysterical. Yeah.
Well, I'm willing to give him the roundup because, like, Marguerite Moreau. Oh, how I love her. She says, you know, shouldn't we wait for the coach? And here's the thing. Charlie is in the wrong for why it's okay to do the roundup, but I don't think the roundup is the problem. Like, because he says, he's like, this is how we get loose. This is how we practice. And that's kind of legit. Like, it's the first day, so there is kind of that little bit of, like, Charlie, you should listen to her and, like, wait for the coach to get here and see what his plan is. But also, like, they're just getting loose. You know, it's not like this is the whole practice. This is just them, you know, starting up. So I was like, okay, that's fine. And it also, I do not remember in 1996 appreciating the Dwayne character, probably because I was in Connecticut and was like, oh, he's the dumb person from Texas or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, Ty O'Neill, that actor, I thought he was really, he was doing a lot in this movie.
Yeah, more of this movie than the last movie. I think they leaned on him more. While the jokes in the last movie were hysterical, this one he does so much more acting.
Like, yes, exactly. That's a really good way to put it. I was really excited to find out, because I checked his IMDb just to see, and I'm like, okay, it's not really much trivia. Professional Cowboy Rodeo Cowboys Association. Oh, that's cool. And then I looked at his birthday, and we are birthday twins.
Oh, nice.
Different year, but same birthday.
That's exciting. That's cool.
That was a cool little, like, hey, look at that.
Yeah. But it's what's fun about why I just paused it on the hilarious moment of Averman hiding in the net.
I noted that down too. Averman is a god. And the other thing that I noticed before Coach O'Ryan arrives, and I noticed it throughout the film, this film is a hockey jersey bonanza.
Oh yeah, especially in this sequence.
Oh, Minnesota moves. Averman's always got on Golden Gophers gear.
Uh-huh.
Even if it's not the jersey, which he does have here, but, like, he always has on that stuff. And then
Goldberg from Philly.
And then I love that Dwayne has the Dallas Stars. Yes. Now that they're not the North Stars.
Yes.
That is so good.
It fits him so well. Like, it's like, of course you would be a Dallas Stars fan. Like, of course you would be.
Yeah, and that becomes, like, a plot point that they've moved since the first movie.
They've been talking about that for two movies now. They've been talking about that since the end of the first movie.
Like, yeah, so I love it. It's really, but yeah, and then you see different Ducks jerseys on, like,
Keenan Thompson and stuff. Russ is wearing the newest one, and then Charlie's wearing the old school one.
Yeah, and then later in the film, Russ is wearing the weird, like, away, but it's got, like, the hatch marks on it almost one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this whole movie, if you are into hockey jerseys, like, you are going to have a good time picking out. And I love that they always did that with the kids from other places. Like, Julia the Cat's always got her main one on. I was just like, that's a really nice detail.
Don't put the shout out to other states. It's like, you're representing, there's more. Like, I almost thought they say, yeah, the movies are based in Minnesota, and that's the whole point. But there's hockey everywhere.
Yeah.
This always shows that.
That's one thing I definitely remember as a kid watching this. And again, you would just catch it when you caught it. So I didn't always see the beginning part. I remember being really confused on, like, why they were in college, but not college, but boarding school. And now as an adult watching it and, like, I'm like, oh, the Minnesota kids are going to day private school, but the kids from out of state are in boarding school. Like, that
makes sense.
For some reason, I guess, like, well, we know where my IQ was at in middle school. Like, I just never quite put that together. And so, yeah, that was exciting.
You're allowed. It was, we're around the same age, so I completely understand. Completely understand.
It just, yeah. I was in it for, like, the hockey and the games and the excitement. So, like, I was not really, this whole prep school reason for the framework of the movie was completely wasted on me.
And oddly enough, I know a couple episodes, we were trying to figure out, like, what is this school? Like, why is this, like, what is this school based on? We couldn't find anything. We were trying to figure out why this school exists. I'm like,
well,
it's so weird.
I mentioned I'm from Connecticut, and the school itself didn't throw me. It was the weird, like, they're going because they're good at hockey, but then the varsity is talking about how bad they are, and do they live in dorms or not live in dorms, what's going on? And now, of course, I'm like, oh yeah, because Texas, Maine, these things happen. It all makes sense now. But I knew people who went to, I applied and almost went to boarding schools, you know. SSATs, and I knew, actually, that's one of the reasons, when I went to high school, I had two best friends in middle school, and one of them moved to another town, and one of them went to the Catholic school, and within, like, a year, I wasn't really talking to either of them.
That sounds like my hometown. That actually sounds like my hometown, because I left Catholic school to go to public school.
Yeah.
So, like, so, I still have, one of my oldest friends is still one of my oldest friends from Catholic school, but other than that, everyone else is both real friends. Everybody else was sixth grade on. Like, yeah.
So I, on the one hand, like, the idea of, like, oh, the snooty private, and of course, like, the rich donors that everyone's caving to, like, all that made sense to me. But yeah, it, and actually it kind of makes sense why they're clinging so hard to the Ducks. My heart just, do you care about very minor spoilers that really are not going to shock anyone, but, like, the fact that it's Fulton that goes with, like, it means so, you know, he's just like, whatever, I did this for a while, but if we're not going to have our friends and a good time, why would I do this?
Exactly, it makes no sense. 100% agree with that.
And then when Charlie's like, we'll go be pro hockey, he's like, whoa.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about that later, because I want to do the research on that, because I don't even know how accurate that is. I haven't done my research, I don't admit it yet. How accurate that truly is.
Well, I can tell you Fulton's face is very accurate of the, yeah, like,
I get
this is not what I signed up for.
On that.
Yeah. But yeah, and the fact that, you know, is it Russ? It's Russ. Russ is, like, so worried about his scholarship. And
yes! It's been a funny gag the whole movie so far. Like, he's just, like, more worried about it because he doesn't want to go home. He doesn't want to go back to his hood in L.A. And I don't blame him. I really don't blame him for that.
Yeah.
Like, so, I wouldn't want to go back to that neighborhood either. I mean, if I was him, I mean, he probably gets out. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. No. And I remember at one point he says to me, like, my parents will not let me come home. Like, are you kidding me? Like, if I screw this up, they will murder me. So
he definitely hits that a lot. Like, it comes up a lot.
I will say I'm praising it a lot. This is not the greatest written movie of all time.
No. But it has better, it definitely has some more laughs early in the movie than in the other movies, for sure. I was
Here's
laughing really
one problem I have with the beginning of this movie, and it continues, but it gets less obvious as it goes on. The sound effects need to stop.
It's very, 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 very cartoony.
The sound effects are what brought on my whole Star Wars thing that I
Yeah, we'll get to that. We will definitely get to my notes. We will
so,
get there.
Sorry, but I know. It's just,
it's very cartoony. There was a lot of, like, sound effects in the first two movies, but they were just meant for, like, gags. There's so much more in this movie than there was in the other two. Like, it's really
cartoony. Although I do love this is a very cartoony villain entrance, and yet it's perfect because, like, the villain wears a turtleneck under his fleece, you know, quarter zip.
Yeah, now we're on Coach Orion. The Coach Orion outfit is fantastic. And I also never caught until recently that he's actually wearing an NHLPA shirt. Like, that's actually, I never caught that until recently. Like, that's a great little detail.
He is a man of a very specific time and mindset, I guess.
But you know what? It's fine. I don't mind having the attitude like he has. I get his point of view now, but as a kid, I hated him.
As a kid, I hated him, but I also got hated Charlie in this movie, which is probably why I never liked it as much.
He has his moments.
I don't know if he said it yet. No, it must be later. I don't remember. But he's going to tell someone he's not a jock. And that is a lie. Because I'm sorry. Only a jock would pull this attitude. He's supposed to be 14 years old. He's at a new school. The new coach comes up and he's like, hey, man, this is what we do. Get with it or get out. And it's like, no.
That actually did happen already. That actually happened.
Okay, thank God.
Ago. Yeah. That did happen already. That was fantastic. It really is a good point. I really thought about it from that perspective that he is a jock, but he doesn't like to act like a jock, but he's always acting like a jock.
He's a completely unaware of what a jock he is jock. And later he's like, I like this music, which was adorable and I love. But
yes.
He's listing all these things. He's like, so that makes me not a jock. And I'm like, pretty sure all your actions so far in this movie have said otherwise.
And that's why Coach O'Ryan called him out on his seat. He calls him out because he's not acting like a captain, really. He's acting like captain of the Ducks, but he's not acting like actually what he should be acting like here.
And so many of the players on his team are like all but doing the, oh God, shut up, Charlie. Exactly. This guy doesn't speak for us.
So I have a question here. They may say very clearly, Coach Bombay gave him this seat. When? When did Coach Bombay give him this seat? Because I knew this was going to come up in this movie. I knew last movie this was going to come up.
And it's important.
I was paying attention during D2. And he never wore the seat in D2. So I have no idea when he got the seat.
I'm assuming, yeah. I thought for some reason that he had gotten the seat. Like, by the end of every movie, he has the seat or something.
And he's never wearing it until now. Ever.
Yeah. I think, especially when he gave up his spot to Banksy and was coaching on the thing, I think that was the real, like, okay, probably what he did was after that, he gave him the seat. But whatever, it's important to the movie, and I love it, and it's...
it's a great moment, but I've been waiting for this moment for two movies. Like, I've been waiting.
I know, the Hans with the C thing is just absolutely the best. I'm so excited for you guys to reach that in that episode.
I can't wait, but like, I know that he run in the C, and they make a big deal out of it. And I have Russ, by the way, backing him up. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Like, little things like that. This team really does, like, still bond. They're still really bonded together.
They are. And I should have said, but like, they also immediately, they're willing to back up Charlie. They're willing to say like, this is what we do, but they are also listening to the coach in a way that Charlie has just apparently decided not to.
They're respecting their new coach. That's the difference.
Yes.
They are respecting him.
They are like, forget respecting. They are accepting that this is the new coach.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie. Exactly what it is. I don't know if he thinks he's going to, like, drive this guy away and Gordon will come back or what. Like,
What he thinks. That might be what he thinks.
Yeah. I don't understand Charlie's motivations. Because it's very, very strange. You know what? You're right, though. That's a very little kid way of, like, oh, if we can get rid of this guy, Gordon will come back, even though probably not, they would just hire someone.
Exactly. And even then, he's hired by the school. It's not like he jumped on like Gordon did, where he's different. He's hired by the school for this.
Yeah.
There's a big difference.
It makes no sense. I did love the little detail of left-handed Charlie.
Yes.
That was hilarious as a lefty. I have awkwardly done that. And I wasn't left hanging because of the coaches. Icy attitude. I was left hanging because people were like, what are you doing with your hands?
Oh my God. I do appreciate though Coach saying that he respects Gordon's move, but this is my team. It's my team. And I'm like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Go with it. But great. Charlie's still being annoying because he goes, you're the rookie here. We've been together for years. Like,
That's the real.
That's how any of this works.
Yeah, I totally get a little bit of defensiveness because for the fact that he's like, on the one hand, it is his team. Obviously, he gets to pick the captain. Maybe you don't want to tell the captain that right away because it's going to cost him. But this is the necessary animosity that is in kids' sports movies.
True.
There has to be the so obvious bad guy. And obviously, we're going to be rooting for the good guys, even when they're being idiots. And yeah, it's, I remember as a kid completely accepting, like, this is the bad guy. Charlie's skating laps. What's going on here? So.
You know what's funny? I'm looking back now, and he reminds me of my football coach. One of my football coaches. He reminds me of that. It's a good thing. It's actually a good thing. Because he had that attitude of like, I was the new kid, but I would play football. I didn't play football until the freshman year. But like a lot of people I played with had been playing in the midget leagues for years.
Yeah.
Well, they all knew each other, but one of my oldest friends said, come join the team. You're a big guy. We'll have some fun. And come join it. I ended up on the team for 4 years and lettered. But the coaches, I'm like, yeah, you guys know each other, but this is my team now. We're changing things here. We're doing it our way. And you got to deal with it. I just thought about that just now. Like, that's exactly what he's doing here. It's exactly the same thing.
Yeah. And it makes sense. It's really hard and nuanced in a way that this Disney children's movie about hockey was not ready to deal with.
No, I think that this is more appreciated now. I think nowadays, the way this is written actually would be more appreciated now.
Like, oh my God, her wanting to rename the Warriors and he just starts lifting out teams. I'm like, Charlie, shush, stop it. We don't see that anymore.
They're ahead of their time with that whole storyline. Like, oh my God, I thought of that immediately. Like, they're ahead of their time.
Yes, exactly.
Oh man, they were way ahead of themselves on that one. Like,
there we go.
Wow, that's literally something we're doing right now. Like, literally. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. So, this starts the good old-fashioned Averman Coach Ryan bit of start with a W.
So funny. I love Averman so much. He's so obnoxious, and I just adore him.
Yes, I do love him so much. I was hoping to have him back on the show this season, but he just pandemic have a chance to schedule with him yet. I'm hoping. Yeah. I'm hoping to get back on this season. I do love him, and he was great. He was actually a guest on the show first season. So yeah. I really like him.
It is fair to say that a lot has changed since last season.
That's
I feel like whenever this is airing, that statement holds.
This will be in April, so it's not like we're still going to be in the middle of this in April. So,
yeah.
For those wondering in the future, I know some people do go back and listen to these shows years from now. We're in the middle of a pandemic.
You might remember it.
Yeah, look it up. If you're looking up, you'll remember this happened. This is why we're in the middle. So if we make any pandemic jokes on this podcast, that's why. We're in the middle of it still.
We're trying to be good. I mean, this was a really good escapist evening, rewatching D3.
Yes, trust me. When I was planning, this was so much easier to schedule this year than last year because no one has any plans. I had so many years to schedule this year.
It's so funny. I remember last year saying, all right, I'm just doing VCR privileges now, which is annual. Like, that's all. I'm not doing any more. Like, someday I'll get back to it and I'll still guess. And now I'm doing Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I'm just like, look, there was a lot of time.
I had two other projects I had planned for 2020 that did not happen. Because I just couldn't do it because my son and my wife are home. And there was no way I could do another project in 2020 when they're home. It was not. Yeah. I could not do it. So there are some projects that the people are waiting on, that I know people are waiting on, that I now it's still haven't happened yet.
I left my job in January 2020, at the end of January, beginning of February. And I was going to take a couple months off and then go back to work. And a different, you know, because I was completely resetting and looking for a new job. And so I was like, all right, let me take some time, like breathe, then to end March 2020. Oh, JK. So this is what I do now.
I get it. Trust me. I 100% get it. I've said this on other shows. I'm sitting in my office. If I turn off the camera, behind me is my son's school setup. Behind me, and I'm sitting at my wife's work setup. So, yeah. Like, this is the pandemic world I'm living in. So
I like your Mighty Ducks background.
Yes, I have multiple. There's a lot of music for this episode. I have multiples.
Yeah.
I have different ones for different nights. So, anyway, back to the movie. We're actually at the line that you love so much. High school hockey is very hard work.
I mean...
And the way he says it is hysterical.
The way he says it is beautiful. Oh, his complete disdain for the fact that they won an international competition.
Yeah,
it's really something.
He doesn't understand that, like, at all. Like, you don't play defense, yet you just won this massive, like, international tournament.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's God. Really, it's a line.
Yeah, it's really funny, actually. It's really funny. Because he actually goes and tells them, like, I know you can score goals, but can you stop them? And then Goldberg gets insulted.
Yeah.
Funny.
I do have to say, I got very mad at Goldberg watching this movie.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, there are moments where I'm now, especially with the 2021 glasses on, where I'm really offended by some of the stuff he does.
He's very... And, you know, let's face it, the jokes around Goldberg have never been particularly, like, progressively forward-thinking, but, yeah, the way he treats Julie is just like, you're just being a jerk. And the thing is, like, even in 1996, people knew that was a jerk move, like...
But they still did it in this movie. Like, that was like I said, we'll get to that later in the film, but, like, there are things he does where, like, I understand this is they're teenagers, this is a kid's movie, but it's still bad. Still really bad.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's because they felt like they had to make it obvious enough that kids would get that, like, he was being a jerk. And...
True. We have enough subtlety going on with the coach. We don't need more subtlety with Goldberg. And
there we go.
And Julie.
That's a good way to, that's a great way to put it. And yeah, I liked the contrast between Goldberg's goaltending and like the way she's just talking it up and keeping the chatter going the whole time. Like,
I love that. It's just,
it was a really good example. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like she's actually being a goaltender. Like, she's actually being a really good goalie.
Yes. I think maybe that's why the Goldberg thing rubbed me so the wrong way, because it feels like he should be over this by now and used to sharing with her. I don't know.
Well, at the end of the day, she didn't really play much. In the Junior Good World Games, she really didn't play much. She replaced him for like a minute in the Iceland game, and then she got thrown out. And then she was the hero at the end.
That's the thing. I think because she's the hero at the end, it's so in my mind. Her counting the one, two. That's one. That's two.
like she literally had two plays, like literally two moments in the entire Good World Games.
Okay.
Rest
all right.
Goldberg.
I'm willing to concede. Yes, actually, that's a really good point of why Goldberg would be like, I'm sorry, what now?
Yeah, this is my net. Like, I don't understand what the problem here is.
Yeah.
So I never played hockey, so I don't understand the whole 1-2-3 round counting thing they did there. Why are they doing that to set up teams and there's only two teams? Like, I don't understand that.
I was assuming either lines. That was my first thought.
Okay.
Of the lines that they're gonna do, because and especially the three, or it could be one team, two team, three teams switching out.
Okay, that makes sense. That does make sense. I was just confused by. I've always been confused by that. Yeah. Like I never actually played hockey, so I guess there's either something in there I just don't know. You know?
Yeah, and people, I hope people who have played chime in, because if I'm totally wrong, I could be totally wrong. That's just how I read it. But it was amazing how instantly that counting off took me back to gym class. It was one of those things I have not thought about standing in a line and counting off like that in 2 decades, at least, plus over 2 decades. And yet instantly it was like, oh, right. And trying to, like, switch so you'd be on the same team with your friend. And
yes.
Like...
Yes. Absolutely.
I strategize that.
So I skipped ahead to watching Goldberg and Nett, and I do appreciate the fact that Kenny Wu does the his spin move And Coach yells at him. But he yells at him, and I don't even know what he called him. Like, is that his real name? Baskerov? Like, is that his real name? Because we didn't know him as Kenny Wu. He just yells some weird name
at him. Oh, I didn't catch that.
Like, I have the closed captioning on, so it's like...
Okay.
I don't know that name. Like, what do you know that name?
Yeah, I didn't watch it with closed captioning. I would have assumed he was saying, like... knock that off or something. Yeah,
but he has a name. What, so maybe that's his real name. We didn't know him as Kenny Wu. Remember that kind of situation? Like, it was Kenny Wu, and we only know his first and middle name because they never wanted to say his last name. I don't know.
That doesn't.
It's something they would do in
right,
movies like this,
but
though.
Sure.
Like, I can see him doing movies like this to make it easier for people to remember his name.
Oh God. Yeah, I'm just looking over to make sure, and I know I touched on this, but I just need to reiterate because it's such an important note. How wonderful Marguerite Moreau is and how lucky I was to grow up watching her in movies. Like, starting with this and then just throughout her career. Any movie she was in, I'm like, all right, I'm in. I'm watching this.
By the way, now that you got me paying attention to the jerseys. I'm in the locker room, so I'm watching them come in now that I'm paying
attention. Yeah.
We got Julie Moore, the main one, obviously, on ice. Yeah. So then we got here. We got the Minnesota Moose. Then we got the Florida Panthers, which makes sense. He's from Miami. Then we got the Flyers. Then we got Ducks. And then we have Maine. Then we have more Ducks. And Averman is wearing the the Minnesota Gophers one that I mentioned earlier. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what Fulton's wearing. I can't see it. It's in black, but it's not a Kings jersey. So I'm not even sure what he's wearing.
Oh, and I don't.
And then obviously Dallas Stars, like it's really good representation for the entire country right there. It really is. It works nicely.
Oh my gosh, I had the weirdest moment because as we're recording, NHL the games have just started back up,
right.
And there was a thing online, and it was someone's first NHL, first game, first goal. Isn't this sweet? And I'm watching him skate around, and it wasn't a name I recognized. And all I could think, looking at the jersey, I was like, Connecticut doesn't have a team anymore.
Hartford, yeah. But,
why is he wearing Whalers colors? But this is clearly a new clip. So what's going on? Like, you could just even tell by the quality. I'm like, this game happened today when it was Vancouver. But it was one of those where I'm just staring at the colors and I'm like, turn around so I can see the logo.
Well, what's funny is you could probably confuse, because I know later in this season, they're doing the retro jerseys, like retro jersey things. So like the Mighty Ducks, the new Mighty Ducks jersey has the old school logo, even though they're not the Mighty Ducks Anaheim anymore. So they're bringing back this logo for their jersey this season. So like I can see you being confused a little bit, like on some of these old school jerseys they're wearing.
Just so. The color of it. It makes me really happy. I'm so excited to get some from the women's league because we have the Whale is back.
Yes. Actually, I'm excited because they're airing the women's playoffs on NBC Sports Network.
It's amazing.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. I've been to a Boston Pride Buffalo Buttes game.
Oh yeah,
that was great. Yeah, so I live in Boston, and one of my best friends from grad school is from Buffalo originally.
Oh my god!
So we love to get super competitive, and so they came to town, and so I've been to that game, and I love the Pride. Like, great logo, jerseys, lots of cool stuff, but the fact that the Whale is back makes me so happy.
Yeah, I love the Women's League. I just never been able to sit and watch them because they're on Twitch and all kinds of things. I'm so happy I get to watch the team this year. Like, I'm so excited to watch them in the hockey this year. I always watch the USA, USA Team USA Women's games that I can. So
yeah, I'm really hoping, like, this is one of the very few silver linings to everything is... We can drum up some support for those games.
You know what's funny? I was thinking about this when I was laying out the schedule for this, because obviously this is going to go on until August. This show's going to go on. But the funny part is the Stanley Cup's going to be awarded in like July this year. So it's going to be like, it's weird because we're going to be having games in July. All the shows are going up. It's going to be weird.
I know. I have an aunt and uncle. Well, I have a family that I'm related to that are massive Bruins fan. And my aunt would always text me and be like, hey, you watching the game? And I'm like, there's a game on now?
Okay,
2020 hockey really messed with my brain.
I will tell something here because I think I've talked about this really on the air. Last season, the last season, the weird pandemic season, the weird season that was like 37 games in like a week. It was a really strange season. Because I work at a hospital, and a lot of times I need to escape. I need to get out of there for a little while. I need to go in another room to get out of the craziness. Well, there's 12 noon hockey games on in the middle of the week. So NHL NBC app was airing them all. So I sit there and watch games. Like, this feels nice. To get my head on straight for a little while.
That's awesome.
Oh my god, I loved doing that last season. It was fun. Like, yeah. I know, like, I look at the schedule. That the whole I'm a Devils fan, and there's a whole bunch of Devils weekend games. And I'm at work. I'm like, hey, I can listen to my work. I'm gonna do these games.
There you go.
Might there as well. So, and then back over here, we're almost done here. We're at the Porter Ryan coming in, and he starts talking about how the Eden Hall Academy required you to maintain a C average to compete. That's fair.
Standard.
That's totally standard. But I like the fact that he wants them to be better. Like, I respect that move as an adult. Like, he wants them to be better. Oh my gosh. It was a weird thing, like, as a kid, like, oh, that's bad. Like, as an adult, yeah, of course you want them to be better. Like, you want them to be better kids. And 15 minutes is not enough time to change to get out of there. I'm sorry.
That's, yeah. Time. That's rough.
Like, 15 minutes is not enough time to play football, let alone hockey, because there's more padding involved here.
I remember when I took skating lessons and we would, you know, be lacing up and the hockey players would have just come out from their, you know, while the Zamboni's going around. And
right.
I get his, you know, you should be doing your homework. And it's like, buddy, but
it.
Also like realistic expectations of your teenage, you know, players.
Yeah. Like 15 minutes, like I said, is not enough time to change out of football pads, let alone hockey, especially maybe if you want to take a quick shower before you go home.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. Like, that's what my mentality. Like, what if they want to
that's
take a quick shower?
Standard you practice.
Just, like, you just had them skating around the ice doing a whole bunch of crazy stuff, and they're tired. Like, why would they want to take a quick shower before they left? A couple of them. I'm going to say the guy.
I will say, and not all of them live on campus, so some of them have to get home. The grossest I have ever felt was I did a few mornings of November Project. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It's a group that get together in various cities and they run at like 5 a.m. they run stairs in Boston. Well, Cambridge, Boston up here. They run the concrete bleachers at Harvard Stadium. So where like the Kennedys used to play football and stuff.
Yeah.
You run sections of that.
Oh my gosh.
5 a.m. So like the sun rises and you're running the steps in Harvard. And it's a really great workout. And there's other things they do too. It's really fun. Like if you're trying to like build up strength and running, it's a great community. And that was their Monday morning. And then I think like on a Friday morning or something that I couldn't get to, they would do like kind of a course throughout town or up and down a hill or something. I don't remember. I only ever went to the Harvard ones. It was really fun, but it was right when I was trying to come back to running and didn't realize yet I was actually injured and was never going to get back to that. But it was really fun. But you run bleachers, you run stairs, and then I had to get back across town. And a lot of people that were there are marathoners who would use the run home as their run for the day.
Right.
But I was not a marathoner, and I live in East Boston, which requires getting across the harbor.
Oh, God.
And taking public transit after that, I felt awful. I stunk so bad.
I can believe it. I can believe it.
And it's all people, like, on their way to work looking at you strangely. It's an experience.
I always told my girlfriend in high school, especially my senior year, you're not going to see me the last week of August. You're not going to see me at all because that is hell week for football. Mm-hmm. It's our last week before the school year. We literally can control the building the entire time we're there. We don't leave. We literally go home and sleep and come back. We were there for 12, 16-hour days. It was hell week for us. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see me. because either I'm going to be exhausted or I'm going to be extremely smelly. You're not going to see me for a week. Like, it's just, you're not going to see me. Yeah. So unless you want to come to my house and, like, cuddle with me in bed, you're not going to see me for a week. Like, it's going to be impossible. That was the worst week ever. Like, that week changed my family vacations. So it used to be the last week of August, used to be family vacations, and that changed everything.
I almost played on the football team in high school, and part of it was that I didn't want, I worked at camp and I had already been working at camp for a year, and I was like, I don't want to leave early to come back to, you know, it was just a mess though. It also was, so when I was a freshman in high school, there was a girl on the football team.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. It was Kari's older sister, Sam. Do I remember their last names now? so not only had there been a girl on the team before, so our county had figured out how you deal with that when there's a girl on one of the football teams and locker rooms and all that stuff. And all that was fine. And it was someone I'd kind of known. So it wasn't too weird. Right. And then we had Powder Puff, which was juniors versus seniors Thanksgiving weekend. And when we played in the junior game, my best friend had been made center. And so I actually knew, I helped her practice. And so I played both offense and defense. And that first game, I was in all but four plays the entire game. And they came afterwards to me and my friend Jen. And they said, do you guys want to try out for football next year when you're seniors? And we kind of debated it. Our moms are geniuses because her mom said she could try out if I did, if my mom said it was okay. My mom said I could try out if Jen's mom said it was okay. And by the time we figured this all out, it was kind of too late because I had already said I was going to work that summer at camp, which again, they would have let me leave early, but like, I wasn't sure I wanted to do that.
Right.
And Jen got offered to be drum major and her senior year, so she did that instead, and we were like, we can't do it. Like, there's no way.
I get it.
So, but I came really close to almost playing on my high school football team. Amazing. So
that's amazing.
Hilarious. I am not good.
you sound like me when I went out for track and field for like a week and then realized I hated it and never went back.
See, I was a sports junkie. I liked everything and I would try everything. Actually, that senior year was the first year we had a girls lacrosse team.
Oh, cool.
And there were four seniors, so they made us all co-captains.
Nice. That's exciting.
Technically, I was captain of my high school lacrosse team, but I was not good.
We had 13 seniors for football. My senior year, we had 13 seniors.
Yeah.
So we rotated the four captaincy depending on who was in it. I ended up captaining homecoming. Well, that was cool. I got to be captain for homecoming. So
that's awesome.
That was really fun. So that was a fun one. So I got pictures of all of our homecoming games. I'm in every single picture because I was the fourth captain that game.
That's awesome. Yeah, I still have somewhere in this apartment the spring schedule poster because all the and they would take a picture of all the captains for that sport for that season. And nice. I still have the one I'm in.
Nice. Funny part is, I don't even have to go into the high school question in our show notes today because
that wasn't even the story I was going to tell for high school. Oh my God.
Tell the story you wanted to tell before we get to the last thing on my list.
Oh, cool. I'll be quick. It's only just that I almost died as a freshman on school property.
Okay. I want to make a note for people listening. I was a little taking a drink. I did not expect that at all.
That was beautiful reaction. So I mentioned I went to high school, and not that I was Miss Popular in middle school either, but like the two people who had deigned to spend time with me didn't go to the same high school. So it was a little rough, beginning. And, they were restarting a drama club after not having one for years. So like, there's a mural in the auditorium from like Anything Goes, but it's like the '80s. Like there hasn't been one in like 10 years.
Right.
And so they're like, we're going to restart. It's going to be a really small group. That's fine. I had no interest in acting, but I was a super nerd, wanted to be George Lucas, was all about set design. And so I showed up and was like, hey, can I do tech? And the director turned to me, this little 14-year-old who knows no one, and said, are you willing to come, you know, who are, I don't even think she looked at me. I think she said like, who's willing to come to all the rehearsals? And I was the only one who raised my hand. Oh my God. And so I was made stage manager.
Oh my God.
So I was stage manager. I had two techies. I had Laura who ran lights and Joe who ran sound, or I might have reversed that actually. But, okay. And it was such a small group that to not embarrass ourselves, we actually set up the mini risers on the stage.
Right.
Instead of using the whole auditorium so that it looked like our shows were packed. But really, right. It's that there were only three risers worth of seats that were on the stage. And so Laura was on the other side. Maybe she didn't even have a sound. I don't remember. Laura, who did tech, was on the other side. And Joe had the lighting board. And he was on the same side as me. And I did the curtain. Okay. It's very exciting. We're going through practices. We're doing all this stuff. The equipment's a little used. When we finally graduated to using the lighting booth, we found out our spotlight had been stolen from the crosstown rival high school.
What?
And was blatantly stenciled property of NHS, but was in Brian McMahon High School. That was our spot. That was one of our spotlights.
That's amazing.
So I'm just painting a picture so that you understand when I say that Joe and I were left, you know, when all the cast was on stage and the director was in the audience watching a performance, it was just Joe and I behind the curtains on the side.
Got it.
And there's this huge black metal cabinet that's the lights, and then he has the little board that runs them. And every so often, as we were doing rehearsals and getting closer and actually rehearsing, we would out of the corner of our eyes see a spark.
Oh no.
And we're like, that's not good. And we kind of like bonded and became friends, and our dads worked together. And so we worked it out, and we said to each other, we're like, okay, we've only got three performances to get through. We'll be fine. And then we talked it through, and I was like, okay, if it happens during a performance, I will run over and throw it off.
Oh no.
And that way the, you know, school won't burn down, which is what we were worried about. That the school is going to burn down and it's going to be our fault.
Right.
And so I said, look, I'm looking at them. They're switches. I have moved them. If I see it, I'll throw them and turn everything off, and that will solve the problem. And that did not happen during a performance. All three performances go. We're good. We move on. It was months later. It was after Christmas, after all that stuff. We're going to do, the drama club is going to keep going. We've proven that we can do it. They're getting us a new box. And I was like, oh, that's great. We won't have to worry about it catching on fire. And my dad was like, yeah, no, that's really good. That makes me nervous. And I said, yeah, we really lucked out. It never happened during a thing. And I told him my plan. And he looked at me and said, Tierney, you would have died. Because it was arcing.
Oh my God.
It was a blue light arcing that I was planning to run over and
turn
on. And I 100% would have electrocuted myself dead at 14.
Oh man. Oh my God, that's insanity.
Because there before the grace of God, Joe and I had worked it all out of exactly what we would do to prevent this emergency, and if it had happened, I would have electrocuted myself.
Luckily, it did not happen. Luckily. God, that's insane.
So maybe that's why I give Charlie a little bit of a pass, because 14-year-olds sometimes think they're being very smart, and it turns out they are not.
Yeah, exactly. All right, before we wrap things up, you had messaged me the other day, and you said, you're watching this, and because of all the stuff going on, you compared it to the Star Wars trilogy.
Yes.
Explain.
So, the Mighty Ducks is the founding myth. It creates a world, brings you into it. Great. A lot of people cite it as their favorite. D2 expands the world. Everything's bigger and better. The world is bigger. We got more budget. We're going for it. A lot of people say it's their favorite of the trilogy.
Right.
And then we return for the third movie, which is a lot of fun and not bad, and has some really high highs, some really great moments, but also a lot of like sound effects as people fall down. And a lot of people think it's really juvenile, especially when you compare it to what happened in the one before.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's very true. I didn't look at it from that way. That's very true.
Then I started to get into Keenan as Lando, shows up in D2, crucial in D3, real hero of the stories. Hans is so clearly Yoda. I love that I developed this halfway through, and it just kept getting more and more true with every scene he's in.
Oh, yeah.
And this morning, as I was showering, it occurred to me to think, does that mean, is Gordon Bombay Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Oh, my God.
I think he is. Oh. I think he is. He's definitely Ben Kenobi.
Right. You're absolutely right.
But I really want to, like, go back and look at the Clone Wars stories, which I don't know as well, and be like, oh, my God. Does this work?
That's amazing. That is fantastic.
So yeah, that was really
brilliant.
Really fun time working that out.
Oh my gosh, that is so, I never thought about that way. That is fantastic. And almost it shows what we do. Sometimes we do shit. It's just like, what?
Welcome to the Movies by Minutes community, listeners.
Yes, exactly. This is something you would never have. Do what we do. All right. Well, on that note, I had to look at the clock, and wow, we've been sitting here for a while chit-chatting. I think this is the longest show we've ever done together. This is the longest we've ever done.
I talk. So, it's a thing.
Oh, no, that just shows that we get along. We've been doing this for so long now. This is our 4th episode we've done together.
This is just old home week for me.
So why don't we just plug that away? So you go first. Plug away. Go.
The easiest thing to plug is my website, onesteelsister.com. It's onesteelsister. I say that's easiest because it has links to all the shows that I do, all my guest appearances. I wrote a book that if this is airing in April, will hopefully be coming out very, very soon, which is terrifying.
Wow.
But so that has links to everything. So that's the easiest. And I mentioned I'm doing a podcast called This Means Something, which is analyzing close encounters of the third kind. And I just started recording for this summer's VCR Privileges, which is going to be on American Graffiti.
Wow.
So we're doing American Graffiti one song at a time. It's me, Rachel Mummer, did A League of Their Own with me, and Doris Weiss. We stole her from Indiana Jones Minute as well.
Look at you.
So yeah. It was really fun. We did our first episodes where it's all three of us together, and it's just a really good time.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Well, I'm on the Blake and Sal Show, which you can hear right after listening to this on Friday mornings. Go over to the Blake and Sal Show every single Friday at theblakeandsalshow.com. Also, you can get merchandise for D5 Mighty Ducks now. I'm wearing a new D5 t-shirt. I'm wearing it. I love this shirt. If you get it in gray, you get the ice feature on it. It looks really cool.
There you go.
Batter is on the shirt. It actually looks really awesome. And I've been trying to promote everywhere we are, so go to Spotify and hear our show. One of the many, many places you can hear this show. Kearney, thank you so much. This is a lot of fun. This was awesome.
Gosh.
I'm glad we did this together. This was a really cool
thing. Thanks for having me.
And for those who listened to the end of last season, and you were one of the main reasons we were like, you have to do D3. You have to do D3. We have to talk about D3. So you're one of the main people that got me to do this season. So thank you for that. Because this is so much better than I thought it would be. I'm not going to lie. So next week's show, Tim Riker from Random Chatter will be here for the second season in a row. He's looking forward to coming out. So I'm excited to have him back. So that'll be on next week's show. Again, Tierney, thank you so much. Thank you all for listening. And I will see you all next week. Have a good day, everybody.
Bye.
And when everyone says it can't be done, ducks fly together.